We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, indeed. It is the Get Right right here on 105.3 The Fan. My name is Reginald Adetula. That is Blake Elliott.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to Larry Flores on the ones and twos making it sound good. And thanks to you rolling on a Wednesday here in the DFW. Couple hours still to go on this evening. And look, the Clippers and Sixers in a tight one. Of course, you ask, why should I care? The Clippers have been sliding. I think you mentioned 4 of 6 in their last 10.
Yep, 4 of 6.
And that's one of those situations where as the Mavericks have played well, and if they continue to play well, they might even get to a place where they could move up further, maybe move up to 5 at some point in the West. And so just watching the West, we'll talk more about the division or the races in the NBA coming up next. But right now, I didn't want to talk about this. Actually, before I get to there, I kind of want to pay off a little bit more of the embarrassing work stories that y'all are sending, because they just kept coming through on the text line during the break, and there were some that I laughed at, including this one. Simple. 214. I was asleep in class, farted myself awake. Everybody was looking at me.
That's tough.
Yeah, sorry about that, 214. But I mean, bodily things happen, and it seems like so many of these stories are just bodily things. You just had to, you know, everybody poops, right? And so it seems like sometimes that shows up at work. If you had to rank them, it's like falling number one, yep. Everybody poops number two, mm-hmm. And then something else. What was the three?
I don't know if I can say it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And I think that probably told people exactly what it was. But yeah. All right, let's go here. Because you brought up an interesting conversation, and I did want to get here because, obviously, Rangers about to start their season, and so this word will have a particular connotation in baseball, but I think it came from the Mavs and the ways in which this team has been great in fourth quarters. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious because you have two of maybe the top at least 25 players, to put it very conservatively, in the league. And guys that are capable, when the game is on the line, of showing up. We've seen that with Luka Doncic time and time again. We saw that even more uniquely last week, and not this past week, and the weekend prior with Kyrie Irving. And so who are those guys in the DFW sports range or realm that are the closers? And I guess I kind of just answered the question for the Mavs, right?
Yeah, I think when it comes to closers, I want us kind of to look at this, or you can tell me which way you want to look at this more. Actual stats of like this is a guy, or do you want to look at more mentality of who?
No, we want to do the who got that dog. You know,
okay, so pretty much who's got that dog when push comes to shove, things are not going correct. The wrong play is called in whatever sport, the wrong assignment, the ball is hit past somebody. Who is going to step up and be a game changer late in games? And I think one of the best examples I can think of is when you go to the Kansas City Chiefs offense and defense, Patrick Mahomes. Things aren't going right. I figured out. Defense. Chris Jones.
I can get you with two words when it comes to Patrick Mahomes to make this easy. 13 seconds.
Yeah. Like, things aren't going right. We shouldn't. Defense, wrong play called. Chris Jones makes a play when it matters most. So, let's do that same mindset, Tolos, but with DFW sports teams. You can throw out any team you want, and you go, hey, things aren't going right. This is a closer you can always rely on. Let's get the easy ones out the way. You already mentioned them. I think Kyrie and Luka.
Do you feel like that's the only ones that we can talk about with the Mavs?
Offensive-wise, yes. I think that's the only ones. Don't matter what the play is called. I believe in them to find a way to do it, and I feel 100% confident they are going to make the right play. And I think you can go on a defensive side in Daniel Gafford, but he doesn't close games, so I can't really Like, I can't be like, no matter what position he's in, if he's guarding the five and being spread out, like, he's going to make the right play. I think he's just a good basketball player.
And yeah, that's fair. I think to make this easier, I always view this, and I'm going to mention the Denver Nuggets, the way that they just, like, at some point in the game, they go, okay, this game is over now. Yep. And they just kind of turn it up. That's the way I'm thinking about it. And shout out to the 214 on the text line that mentioned a whole bunch of them. And they also added the Dallas Wings. Arike Ogunbowale is a great name because she's done this a lot of times for the Wings. And she did it twice in college. One of the times was huge for a national championship in Notre Dame. Like, Arike absolutely is the answer when you talk about the Wings to, like, kind of cap off the basketball, at least the professional basketball that is.
Is there any other basketball one that you want to throw in and then we'll move on? Is there any? I don't think anyone on the Mavs you can be like just, or there's another Wings player.
I was gonna say maybe Satu. She had a great season, yeah. But like when I talk about like closing and ending, game is over now. It feels like it's Arike. Okay. All right,
basketball done.
Let's do the Rangers now.
Let's do the
Rangers.
Because
Rangers is going to be interesting because if you take it from literal closer, you have a few guys that we might, you know, you might have in that place, but who is the guy that's like, this game is over? And Aroldis Chapman is like the opposite of like, oh, I thought this game was over, but it might be open. it might be open a little bit. You never know. He might give up these runs.
We might have a four-run lead, but it might be open.
And
who do you trust more, Spores or Leclerc? That this game is over when this guy comes in. Not saying it's 100% for either, but which one do you have a high percentage?
Who do I trust more? That's tough because Leclerc was so good down the stretch. Spores had the big moment, though.
He had a couple big moments. There's a reason he got to pitch that last inning.
I mean, that almost feels like
a tie to me. But Leclerc has put in more high leverage situations, so we have more to judge off of him, quote unquote, messing up or blowing the save.
I'll go Leclerc there.
I'll go Spores just
bounce it out.
Yeah.
I think that they both could get, but that's like literal closing. Yeah. If I was going to talk about the closer, like in that dog mentality of like this game is over, I actually go somewhere else.
Go ahead.
One of the names that comes up, and I feel like the Rangers have a good amount of them.
Yeah.
One of the names that comes up, he was the emotional spark.
Yeah. Go ahead and say his name.
He did the shenanigans in Houston.
Yeah.
His nickname is El Bombi.
Yeah.
He wears 53.
Yeah.
Adolis Garcia.
Adolis, come on, man. I mean, you can't not be on the top closers list and hit a bomb like that. You're going to make the list. I mean, what was it? Okay, was it the game where he had, he got struck out like four times in a row? Astros are booing him. And then he just cranks a bomb. He's like, yeah, go ahead and fetch that one. Like, whoo, I get too excited thinking about the Rangers. Adolis Garcia is stamped on that list. Is he number one on the Rangers? Now, that's the question. Is he one? Do you want to throw Seager in there for his heroics?
Seager feels, obviously, Seager and Semien in an interesting way, because Semien is like, we saw it where even when he looked like he was cold, when it's time to give you
push
a little something,
shove.
He gave you a little something. But it does feel like the real big, obvious one of this is Adolis. I feel like I'm disrespecting Corey Seager somehow.
I can go 1A, 1B with those two.
I feel like we could put Corey Seager on the list, right?
Yeah. Is there any other Rangers that we're missing?
I mean, probably.
Because you got to think about consistency. I know my people might think like a Nathaniel Lowe, but I feel like that comes and goes. When I think dog closer, no matter what, team is playing terrible, I can count on this guy to perform late in the game.
Didn't Evaldi pitch out of the pen?
Oof.
Or was that, who am I, am I doing shenanigans right now where my brain is not doing?
I don't think, he might have. There was a lot of guys were moving around late in the season, and there was a couple different guys that were starters that came in late in the playoff games and pitched well for us. I know someone's going to text it in and let us know. Man, I mean, John Gray was pretty
like,
money.
I feel like I'm putting Evaldi up here, dog.
Someone typed in Bochy.
Yeah, of course. But I'm putting Nathan Evaldi up here, dog.
I like Evaldi.
The ways in which he was like, hey, you need it right now? I got you. I am dealing up here. I am dealing on this mound.
Okay. I think
Zero's coming up.
I think we can circle back to the Rangers. Let's get controversial. Cowboys. I think we could name 10, 11 guys for the Rangers. We could go, boom, boom, this guy,
right,
this
right.
guy.
That's the thing is that we start, and yes, Corey Seager does have ice in his veins. So I was like, look, I feel like I'm being disrespectful. All right, Cowboys.
Uh-oh.
This is where it gets tough. Do you have, all right, let's break it down by side.
Let's do it.
Offense.
Let's
do you have a guy off that you feel like, oh, okay, this is the time? Because CeeDee Lamb was probably the best dude that you think of.
CeeDee Lamb's first guy that came
However, to like we've seen him in some instances like when it's not going well, like we have some of the like head down. Mm. And yes, thank you. It was John Gray out of the pen who was well. Thank you. Because I was like, I don't think he was, but my brain is telling me that. But he did get up there and deal a zero when it looked like he shouldn't have a zero in that one duel was fought. Yeah. And then you end up, oh, there you go. The Rangers did their thing in games.
CD's tough, man, because he has had some big fourth quarters.
Yeah.
And you even look back in his history, the Patriots game with the walk-off. He's had a couple walk-offs, a couple big moments in the fourth quarter. But it also balances out where he's disappeared late in games. But who are we picking from? Where it's not going to go Brandon Cooks, as much as I love him. I don't think he's exactly just close or give him the ball no matter what happens. Do you think he's the highest?
Do you think you
guy?
Have a better answer on the defensive side then?
No, I don't. I wanted to do this topic for this team, Reggie, because we can name maybe 12 dudes on the Rangers. Let's be honest.
Like Michael Parsons, I know that ends up being a thing because Jory Epstein was talking about how there was a defensive coach that obviously is not a Cowboys defensive coach elsewhere around the league that talked about Michael Parsons not showing up in the biggest moments when they need him the most.
And I kind of agree. DeMarcus Lawrence. Remember that Seattle game?
Yeah.
And team wasn't playing well, but I don't know if he's impactful enough or like nothing's going right. This is who's going to shut down the defense. Obviously, defense is a team game, but like I just mentioned with Chris Jones, Aaron Donald, things ain't going right. They will make it happen when it's needed most. Someone said, don't waste your time on the offense.
DeMarcus Lawrence is DeMarcus Lawrence seems to be the answer that comes up most consistently.
Ooh,
okay.
I like this.
Brandon Aubrey?
Brandon Aubrey. That's a good one.
Okay, so wow, we're like, the kicker, there it is. All right, we got an answer. Brandon Aubrey is the one that we put up. Yeah.
Okay, so anyone on the Cowboys team that jumps out to you? You can even think offense, defense. It's just like surefire. Is there a surefire guy?
I don't know. Like, do you want to put Deron Bland on there because of the interceptions and the ways that it just felt like they kept showing up? Trayvon Diggs? No? That doesn't appeal to you?
They're great players. We're not saying these guys aren't great players, but I'm thinking fourth quarter, team's playing terrible. I need you to make a play. Deron Bland had his moments. Ah, man.
972 says Parsons is that guy. Tank has many years, and Tank has had many years of showing up in that way.
Tank,
so
Tank is the one that comes to mind.
Do we want to put like as a possible?
Thanks.
Tank is a possible. CD's a possible.
CD's a possible. What do you think about this Jake Ferguson? Can we already crown him as a closer?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think he's got to show a little bit more. Great, great season. But I don't think Dak was like, I can go to him no matter what, and we're going to win this game type thing. Like Travis Kelce-esque. You know, I think it's really the only tight end.
Cowboys, interesting team. What an interesting team. Let's get back to the fun of this. Yeah. The stars. Jake Ottinger is a fun one because last postseason, Jake Ottinger showed his mettle between the pipes. This year it's been kind of up and down, which is honestly, and okay, let's go back real quick. Cowboys. Zach Martin, always handling his business.
I like it. Usually do not hear his name called in a big moment. He's usually going to handle business.
Okay. All right, so back to these stars, right? Jake Ottinger, I think this is the thing that I'm not concerned necessarily, but the thing I've been thinking about is if Ottinger's form does not fully stabilize and go back to especially what we are considered, this is a tough West in the NHL this season for the postseason. I was talking with Gavin Spittle, I think yesterday, about this, and it's like, it feels like there's a whole bunch of teams that could easily win the championship, win the Stanley Cup. But there's also almost as many teams that you feel like could easily lose in that first round and that are the same team that have those high and lows that are possible because there's so many good teams. And it feels like, as we know, in the postseason, having a goalie that can stand on their head when you need them to might be the differentiating factor in the playoffs. And so Jake Ottinger, he absolutely was that guy last year. This year, I'm kind of wondering, a little shaky in that way. But yes, if we're going to talk about the skaters,
I'm leaning Roope Hintz.
Roope? Okay.
Led the team in goals last year in the postseason, big goals. Roope Hintz is a guy that comes to mind. Pavelski.
Yeah, Pavelski is definitely one of the ones that I was thinking.
Why it's good. So we're not doing like who's the most promising, who's the best on the team, but clutch, big time, dog, need him. I think Pavelski and Hintz are the ones. Send in ones that you think we are missing. Is there one that comes up that I haven't mentioned yet, Reg, do you think is a closer for the Dallas Stars?
The postseason run made it tough because Robo was one of the names that I thought about from last year, but that postseason run where it went dry was kind of frustrating. And obviously, he was one of the things about Robo is he was still trying to find ways to impact the game. He was still getting points, you know, getting assists and things of that nature. And so I don't want to go too harsh on him, but this is a little bit of a higher standard that we were getting to where it's like, hey, man, put this game out of reach at times. And I think the names that we mentioned when you talk about Roope, you talk about Pavelski, I think those are the ones that are absolutely Sagan?
Yes, I think as far as you can trust him, but I don't know about like just give him the puck and all as well. Okay, read off the names that we had for for closers for DFW teams.
Okay. Luke and Kyrie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those guys. They're really good.
Arike Ogunbowale for the Wings. Adolis, Corey Seager, Nathan Eovaldi. Do we miss? I feel like we're there's definitely
Spores?
More. Spores, my bad. That's
John
my bad.
Gray?
John Gray showed up. He did
big
show up.
Big time in the postseason. Like, he did show like up. A sight.
Everybody showed up, though. That's the thing that's crazy. Know, it's like, everybody showed up. It's a ways. And then Brandon Aubrey.
That's the first Cowboy that comes up.
Rupe Hintz. Joe Pavelski.
Are we throwing Zach Martin in there? That's Phil. You're
it,
right,
it felt like we were trying really hard to make that one
is
happen.
There, is there anyone we missed, guys? Like, is there one big closer in DFW?
We did put Tank, CD, Michael Parsons as possibles for the Cowboys.
See, and here's the thing, Reggie. If we have to debate it, he's probably not on the list. If it doesn't come to mind, it's like, yeah, I can trust him no matter what. If it's a debate, then he's not a 100% closer. I don't think anyone's debating you that Luke and Kyrie can close. People will debate Micah.
That does kind of seem to kind of give us a better idea or a different way of looking at the teams in DFW. Someone said Austin Hedges. And I mean, we didn't even get to FC Dallas and all those things as well.
Evan Carter? Pretty good closer. Pretty consistent.
He was consistent.
But he didn't have to do that much.
But yeah, like just the ways in which regular season only for the Cowboys. We got some names for sure. But I think also some of this is the difference of the sports. But then also like the ways in which you look at the best team is the Rangers, and they have all of these guys that you know can put this game away in various different places. The Mavs have a few of them. The Stars have a couple of them. The Wings have, you know, one that's really good. Yeah. And then the Cowboys, it doesn't feel like you have that, and that might even be reflective of the fact that they have not gotten it done when it ultimately comes up time for that to happen. I thought that was a really interesting way of looking at your DFW sports teams. Who are the closers? The mentality of the closer in various different sports in DFW. So get right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's jump back to the NBA. Someone said Cody Bradford. Hey, Hopefully this season we add like the whole damn, Rangers roster to the close. Everybody's a dog on this roster as they try and run it back. But coming up on the last like final 10 games or so in the NBA season for most teams, let's look at the races that are going on, including the race to get out of the play-in for your Mavericks. Who do you like? Who do you not like? We'll discuss it next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So get right here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Atatula alongside Blake Elliott this evening. Thanks for rolling with us on this Wednesday. A chill evening when it comes to your Dallas sports teams. Mavericks obviously have a couple of nights off in Sacramento before they take on the Kings again on Friday, and the Stars not in action this evening either. But some interesting stuff when it comes to the NBA. The Clippers and the Sixers were playing a tight game, and that could have played into our next conversation where let's go through with about 10 games left in the NBA season. Some of like the big races when it comes to standings and seeding towards the playoffs, and who we like, who we don't like in those. And one of those races is obviously the race that your Dallas Mavericks are in to, you know, for that sixth seed between three teams, those three teams being the Dallas Mavericks, clearly, the Sacramento Kings, who they are currently playing against, and the Phoenix Suns. all these teams are vying for the opportunity to not be in the play-in. And so the Mavericks have a golden opportunity, especially after getting a win yesterday. If they can win on Friday, and as we discussed this, they can push that tie break between the Sacramento Kings back to the situation where it leans on conference record, where they would have an advantage at least headed into the last few games, and they would then be two games ahead of the Sacramento Kings,
yep,
which would effectively give them, you know, the runway to get this thing done.
Yep, I need it.
But also what it would do, and this is where I find this interesting, is if you manage to do that on Friday, I think that opens up this race even wider. Because I think at that point, the Mavs would jump into the race for home court.
Yep. And the way that the Clippers are not playing their best basketball, they did get a win tonight.
Or at least the race for five. Let me not say for home court.
Yeah, so right now, Denver's at one at 51-21. Oklahoma City's at two.
And I guess that's the race for one. That's a different race that's happening between the Nuggets and the Thunder. And I guess still the Timberwolves in that. There's the three-team race to see who will get home court all the way through the Western Conference playoffs if they were to continue to win.
So currently, the Mavs are matched up with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
If the season were to end right now.
Yep. I'll ask you this, even to prime it. Do you care who the Mavs play? What is important more, home court advantage or who you play?
Oh, no, it's going to be who you play in this instance, especially with how dominant the West is, or at least how tricky all of these teams in the West are. Let me say it that way. I think it's going to be important depending on who you play.
Okay.
Now, I really do think they have the opportunity to be out of the play-in. And as I just told you earlier, playoffstatus.com, which is like kind of a calculator of the general basic odds, currently has the Mavericks' best odds of their place to finish is as sixth place. But the second best odds is fifth place. And that's where it gets interesting, because the Clippers just barely edge out the Sixers. If the Sixers had won that, that would be yet another loss for the Clippers. They would be 3-7 in their last 10, and that would have pushed them further down these rankings as they've been tumbling. That would have put the Clippers a game and a half away from the Mavericks. And if they had continued to skid, that would put the Mavericks relatively in place to like try and take the 5 seed. Currently, the 5 seed is the Pelicans, but they've been playing better, which is why I was harping in on the Clippers. But the Mavericks, if they can win out, if they continue to play really good basketball, as they're currently on a 5-game win streak, man, they could push themselves to a 5. But I want to ask you, is that something that you would want to be?
Yeah, I really want that home court. The Mavs play really good at home, and I think if you can. The main thing is you want to stay away from the Denver side of the bracket.
Well, but that's the problem is if you want home court, you're not going to get that without facing Denver. I don't think you can eat. Like, four already feels like a stretch, but if you were to get to four, you're not getting to three, right? You would get to four, and immediately what that would mean is you get your first series at home, and then if you win, you're probably going to have the indignity of playing the Denver Nuggets in Denver for four of those
and
seven
see the
games.
Thing is, we don't know how the season's going to play out with Denver and Minnesota and Oklahoma City, who's going to be 1, 2, 3.
So let's talk about that race, right? Currently, the Denver Nuggets a half game ahead of the Thunder, a full game ahead of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they're on a 4-game win streak. With that being the case, just looking up, which of those teams do you feel the most strongly about going down the stretch of the last 10 games?
Well, the Nuggets, they have some interesting games to finish off. They play the Timberwolves, which is a toss-up. Play the Cavs, who are playing good basketball. Spurs, Clippers, Hawks. I see them looking at their schedule. They're probably going to finish out first. I see them maybe losing one game. Maybe the Timberwolves game, which might be a big one. Might be a big one, considering. So I think they'll probably finish out in first. Now, when you come to the Timberwolves, their schedule is a little bit different. They have finishing out the season, the Bulls, the Rockets, the Raptors, the Lakers, and I think they could lose some of those games, honestly. They don't seem penciled in just as games where I feel about the Nuggets that this is the time of year the Nuggets really lock in. They're not messing around. The Timberwolves have had injuries, played some inconsistent. I really love Anthony Edwards. Don't get it twisted, but I'm not a full believer in this team, and I feel like this is the time of the year that they might start falling off.
Well, even then, I think they've got a good 5-game cushion from the 4 seed in the Clippers. So I think they're going to be locked in, and it really does feel like that. 1, 2, 3, as it sits right now, that's how that race is going to finish. Yeah. We talked about that race for 6, and I think, are you in agreement with me that it feels like the Mavericks are in the driver's seat to finish that one off?
I think the Mavs have situated themselves out of the play-in. The Suns have probably the hardest schedule left in the NBA, and they are currently sitting at
eight. And they feel like they're going to be in the, like, just the way that they play basketball right now. It does not feel like
is penciled as a win.
You know what it looks like to me? It looks like a team that hasn't played enough games together.
Correct. And they haven't. Yeah. Everyone's injured every other night. And the team I'd be most scared of is the Rockets somehow getting in there.
Let's talk about that race in the West, because the Golden State Warriors, who did get another win tonight, and so they are on a little two-game win streak, but they only won 5 of their last 10. They were starting to creep backwards, as the Rockets have been on a 9-game win streak and really trying to slide up. It's a 1.5 game difference there, and the Warriors might just be saved by the bell here, as we're just running. It seems like we might be running out of games, but it looked like the Rockets were starting to creep up there to maybe sneak into the play-in and give themselves an opportunity to try and play some meaningful basketball.
Rockets got some hard games coming up, though. They play the Mavs twice.
Yeah, and those are the way that the Mavs are playing, those feel like those are going to be losses for the Rockets.
The Rockets then play the Warriors, Magic, and Clippers. So that could be 5-6 more losses.
Yeah, but I mean, when it comes to strength of schedule, they have the 7th most difficult remaining. So that could get a little dicey for them. It might have just been a nice little surge that's not going to see them. So who do you like out of that pairing? You like the Warriors then to finish this off?
I really like the way the Rockets are playing, but like you said, strength of schedule was they did not play some great teams on that stretch. They were beating the Spurs, the Trailblazers, the Wizards twice, the Bulls, the Spurs again. Like, they weren't beating great teams. They had some quality wins in there. I'm going to go with somehow the Rockets still find a way in there and they edge out the Warriors. I don't like the way the Warriors are playing basketball.
Okay. So those are the three big races when it comes to the West. The East is kind of in this weird place where there's not really, like, huge races happening per se, but here's one of the races, right? As the Boston Celtics, they have run away with this as the one seed. They are already locked in there. There's a race for third between the Knicks and the Cavs, and this is kind of weird because you go, why is that a race? In a way, that is a race because it's not for home court. It's for the opportunity to not have to see the Celtics until the Eastern Conference Finals if you can.
Yep. You want to avoid that. You do not want to be in that 4 spot.
And there's a half game between those teams. The Knicks, who they got a little bit of good news. Mitchell Robinson is set to return soon.
Yep.
In the next, game or two that they are playing. And the Cavs have been on it. They're 3 of their last 10. They're 3-7 in their last 10. Do you like the Knicks to hold on to that 3 seed and, possibly keep themselves away from having to play the Knicks in the second round should they make it that far?
Looking at the schedule, the Knicks have 1, 2, 3, 4 more losses. They play the Thunder, they play the Kings, they play the Bucks, and they play the Celtics.
And you're saying they're losing all those.
The Bucks game will be interesting, but let's say for argument's sake, that's 4 more losses. I don't think you can afford 4 more losses towards the end, but then you look at somebody like the Cavaliers. Oh man, this end of the season is gonna be tough for everybody. The Cavs have the Suns, Nuggets, Clippers, Lakers, and 76ers. None of those are just penciled in wins. So I think if I had to pick a team, I like what the Knicks are showing me. Give me the Knicks.
Yeah, I do as well. And that's tough for the Cavs because that puts them a little bit closer to having to compete with the Orlando Magic.
Orlando Magic.
The Orlando Magic are kind of in like this buffer zone in the middle where it feels like they're going to sit at 5. Really good defensive team, and for like the 8th year in a row, a pretty bad offensive team.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be one where I don't know that that's going to be a super challenge, but they might beat you up on your way to now your reward for beating the Orlando Magic. Playing the Boston Celtics. But the other race is kind of a similar one to where the Mavericks have been. It seems like there's one for that 6 seed to get out of the play-in, and it's between the Indiana Pacers, as I mentioned. One game back from them is the Miami Heat, and a half game back from the Miami Heat is the Philadelphia 76ers, who just picked up a loss, as I mentioned, against the Clippers. Who do you like in that little conversation? Because none of them have been playing great basketball.
Nope, but at the end of the day, give me the Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton. His superstar badge ran out, I know. Hasn't been playing the great post-All-Star break as he was in the first half. 6-4 in their last 10. Then they've been playing a little bit better. They did allow 150 points to the Lakers, which is insane. You want to be honest, Reggie, it's mid versus mid right now. None of these teams are making it far.
That's something I wanted to talk about, because this would make yet another season than the Miami Heat would play in the play-in if it landed the way that we're talking about. How do you feel about the Miami Heat? Because it feels like you always have to be a little scared of them, because you look at them. Last year, I thought they were done. I was like, this is not a good team.
playoff.
And yet they still came out of the play-in and made noise. Do you feel like they have the capability of doing that again this season? Or are you like, no, this is the year that it stops happening. They're not actually going to do it.
Never going to count out Spo. Team is not very good. Players have been hurt. Tyler Hero hasn't played in a while. But somehow, whoever they match up with in the play-in, they're going to beat.
And it would be the Sixers right now.
They're going to beat them. I would take that over them. I think Tyrese Maxey is great. As we just saw, I don't think he can do it alone. I think Jimmy Butler is going to find a way to win it in a one-game series. Now, I'll ask you this, Reg.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the NBA, like at the season ended today. I want you to tell me what upset is going to happen. This season ends today. Denver's versus Phoenix. Okay.
Okay.
Oklahoma City's versus Sacramento.
Yeah.
Okay. Minnesota versus Dallas. Okay. L.A. versus New Orleans. That one's not really technically upset. So out of those three, which is the most probable upset? Phoenix beating Denver, Sacramento beating Oklahoma City, or Dallas beating Minnesota?
It'd be Dallas beating Minnesota. Dallas is a dangerous team, man. Agreed. And they look a lot better. And, of course, as we talked about earlier in the show, if they knock down threes, like this, they become a better team than their record would, you know, tell you. Yep. And I think that's the thing that's really scary about the Mavericks. And it's one of the cool things about them working their way, if they get this done on Friday, working their way almost completely out of the play-in situation and giving themselves an opportunity to just go in and not have to scrap in that way.
You don't want to be there. I'm being honest. Yeah. There's too much talent down there. You don't want to leave it up to a Curry going off for 55 and you're going home. You don't want that.
Well, I mean, in order to get to Curry, you'd have to lose to the Suns.
Yeah. I, as much as I know we're going to beat the Suns, if you were in that position, I don't want it up to chance. Give me a 7-game series.
Absolutely. So those are some of the big-time races happening in the NBA as we come down to the final, you know, couple of weeks, final few weeks of the season, about 10 games for most teams finishing this thing out. And luckily for your Dallas Mavericks, it looks like, or I guess not luckily, like they've done the work. They put themselves in a position where it looks like they will win their little portion of the race and give themselves an opportunity to be out of the play-in. Of course, they have to solidify that big-time need of getting a win on Friday against the Sacramento Kings. It's the Get Right right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for a little sharing time. We'll do it on The Fan. So get right here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Datatula here with you alongside Blake Elliott.
Yes, Ersky.
Thanks for rolling with us on this Wednesday. Going to do a little sharing time here as a nice off night for a lot of DFW sports. And, you know, we typically do a little sharing time. We were talking earlier, though, about, like, embarrassing situations at work because yesterday at work, Blake fell out his chair. And one thing is that he didn't just fall out of his chair because, like, look, man, we don't work with a lot of people. It's a few of us. It'd be one thing if it was just like one person saw it.
I thought nobody saw it. I thought I could giggle on the ground and it'd be a little inside joke between me and Reggie.
Nope. Got caught on camera and our good camera video coordinator, Carter Freeman, put it out on social media and people have taken to it. People have laughed quite a bit about it.
It's a good amount of laughter.
A lot of laughter.
If laughter can happen, I'm always for it.
Yeah, and with that being the case, we kind of had a little bit of a venting session where a lot of people gave somebody from the 214, they said, I saw it and it reminded me to send in your embarrassing moment at work. And they actually sent it in. They said, not them, but a coworker was eating a Baconator with one hand while scanning items with the other hand as a cashier. Apparently, he got caught from a camera. And I don't know. Is that embarrassing or is that just you deciding that you didn't care?
Does that mean this guy works at Wendy's? Did he just... That's where the Baconator's from, eh?
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. I was thinking like...
Or is he just randomly like at Kroger?
Yeah, I was like, that was what was happening in my mind, is that he's just like ringing people up at the Walmart, but he had gotten a Baconator somehow.
Where could you get away eating a burger while checking people out and not get in trouble? Like, you're not going to do that, let's be honest, at a Walmart or Kroger. You're getting in trouble, I would assume. Where can you do that and it's not you're going to get in trouble?
CVS.
I got a good one for you. Dollar Tree. There's one person working. Oh, yeah. You're the manager. You're the everything when you're up there.
Anyways, let's go ahead. They said it was a grocery store. So, wow. Fantastic. I wouldn't even be mad, honestly. I'd be like, yeah, you got to eat.
They're grabbing your items, though, Reggie. They're putting grease all over your whatever item you got.
They said they were Baconator with one hand. The other hand wasn't greasy, too. Duh.
So was he doing one of these?
That's right. Beep. That's right. Beep. That's right. The Baconator stays up here. by your face, and then you use the other hand to scan things out. That sounds like talent to me, that they could do all of the checkout at the grocery store with one hand. Shout out to that talented individual. I hope that their work life is going great. All right, let's do a little sharing time, Blake. And I've been informed you got something to share.
I got something to share. Reggie did not catch me off guard. No.
You say that like I'd be springing up sharing time.
As if it's not on the ticket.
It is literally every day.
Yeah. Well, this one, I actually have a true like sharing time. I feel like the true fulfillment of sharing time.
Okay, what you got to share?
So, if I'm actually really excited to tell this.
Oh, good.
Like, not that it's a super long story, but it's a really great time. So, if you have been following this show and you know who Blake is, you've heard me bring up I like video games.
You do like video games.
A lot of times I go home and to de-stress, I'm either watching people play video games, streaming, or I'm playing them myself. And I myself like to play competitive video. I'm a very competitive young man.
Okay, so you're not in the space where you're just like, I'm just trying to relieve some stress. I'm just trying to have fun. You're like, I need to win this.
No, I'm
okay.
Headphones on, cranked, call out, looking up strategies. Like, I'm that guy. Like, cool. I take it. I go hard. So I'm playing the competitive Call of Duty mode. I'm not going to get too nerdy, but competitive Call of Duty mode.
Hardcore?
No, I mean, no.
You're not that real. It's cool. It's fine, though.
the same rule set that the pros play. And I have my microphone on, and in my clan tag, which is like a part of your username, I have 105.3, right? In there. You know.
You put that on
little,
there?
A little callback just that, you know, I like it. Either way, nobody really cares other than me. It makes me feel good. I'm on the game, and this guy in the lobby, we're about to start the game, and he's on my team. He goes, what does 105.3 stand for? It's just a radio station I'm on. You get matched with people from California, New Mexico, Texas. Like, I'm not, like, assuming this is anybody.
You know, it's just a radio station.
So I'm like, it's just a radio station I work on. He goes, wait, 105.3 The Fan? And I was like, yeah. I was like, you've heard of it. He's like, I listen a good amount. I listen during the evening. He goes, your voice sounds really familiar. I go, oh, yeah, I'm on in the night show. Like, I'm really downplaying it. Like, I'm not trying to, like, whatever. And he goes, isn't that when Reggie's on and Chris true. Arnold and CA? And it he goes, true. Like, there's this new guy, Blake. He's like, is that you? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. So I was playing Call of Duty competitive, matchmaking with random people all over the world. I happened to get a Tolo. His name is Edwin. We connected on social media. We're gonna play tonight again after the show. And when I say there was not probably a more wholesome moment to have someone notice my voice, sort of, kind of, by my clan tag giving a little inkling, and him knowing actually I was not just the show, and being like, I listen. He works at a job that he comes home from late, and he's like, I listen to the Get Right all the time driving home from work. I believe he's listening right now, so shout out to Edwin.
Hey.
And I just got to be honest, it was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, and sometimes a little odd, to be honest, because look, I understand, and it's something that me personally, I've tried to get better about. In fact, that I've talked about how, like, driving, especially when I'm driving south, like driving to south on 45 headed towards Houston, and just realizing, oh wow, you can still hear the station all this far, and it just makes me think, oh yeah, there's a lot more people out here than you think. Because for us, you got to remember, we're just in a room talking to 1, 2, 3 people, maybe a few people that are texting in, and it feels relatively small, like it. Yeah. It could basically be talking in a gymnasium.
I like the word gymnasium. I'm glad you used that word, Reggie.
But like, there's a lot of y'all out there. And one, we appreciate it greatly, but it's easy for us to, like, even if we know it, to not have that actual feeling in our brain. Yeah. And so it's wild when, like, there's various times. Like, I think last year was out at the Bartonville store out in, oh goodness, don't give me the line, because I truly forgot. But
what does Bartonville store mean? What's
it's a kind of a restaurant. They also sell
is that the name of the Bartonville store?
Yeah, it's a Bartonville store. And we had an event out there, and somebody, you know, I stepped outside because I needed to do the call-in hit on the station to let people know, hey, we're out here on a Saturday, come hang out.
Yeah.
And as I was doing that, I was outside because I didn't want to have the noise. I was having the conversation. I hung up the phone when I was done, and somebody gets out of his car and he goes, hey, are you Reggie from The Fan? And I was like, yes. He's like, yeah, your voice is familiar. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's so wild. That's a wild thing to have happen. Yeah. And then also, and of course, like, it helps when you're there for The Fan. And so, but like, yeah, being recognized in that way, It's still something that I'm not used to,
yeah.
And I understand for you in particular because yeah. you've not new. Done this all that long. Yeah. Like that's still fairly
just
new.
Cool. I thought it was cool just by the voice. Like it's not like my face popped up right. on the game. It was just right. like that voice sounds familiar.
That's the wild thing is that's actually the more recognizable thing doing this radio thing. I know that we have some folks that hang out on the YouTube and the Twitch, and we appreciate the folks that do that as well. It's kind of crazy to me that people are like, hey, I'm gonna just watch you talk, and that's
the
awesome.
Foregrounders.
All right.
It's been a while since I brought that
and
back.
And I'm still not doing that, but you do you. But no, it's you have to remember there's a lot of people that are listening in the cars or just listening. Mm-hmm. Is the Barnville store in Barnville? Okay, my bad. But there's a lot of people that are just listening, and so there's a lot of people that only learned your face because of that video you falling out the chair.
Two people texting, they said people are going to start being like, are you the one that fell out of the chair?
And it's possible. But you know what? If you do this long enough, there will be something else for people yeah. to remember you by. It'll happen, but yeah, that's cool that happened. You enjoyed that. It made you feel good.
We got some Call of Duty players in here too. I'm loving it.
Yeah, look, you might need to.
We can get a four stack going.
Yeah, you might need to get a group of folks to play together, and that's something that's like been a history on this station in particular is the folks that like playing video games. The Tolos hang out and get online. I know that Corey has done a lot of that. I'm pretty sure Dawson's done a good amount of that.
Me and Dawson are going to get some games going, too.
Yeah, man.
We can have some fun, man. You know, y'all know my Twitter, @BlakeLive_. Shoot me a message. And
that was not him accidentally. There's two underscores there, just letting you know.
Two underscores. Mm-hmm. I still need to get that fixed. I'm kind of mad that my original Twitter got hacked because I had a decent amount of followers, not to flex. But then it got hacked, and now I have, like, you know, not a lot of followers.
I mean, you can always go to 105 Through the Fan on YouTube or on Twitter
mm-hmm.
and Instagram, and then find the video of Blake falling out of his chair, and then you can find his socials from there.
Yes.
You didn't think I was going to bring that back around, did you?
I didn't know where you were going with it, but...
Rocket League 972, ?
I'm not good at Rocket
League. I actually am decent at Rocket League.
I just
haven't played it forever.
Is that your number one calling card?
Oh, very good. Look at my friend, Eric Chiafalo. One, for some reason, still being at work. And two, also bringing me my key card, which I was definitely going to forget if he did not come. And Larry, our friend Eric Chiafalo, about to hop on this microphone, if you don't mind.
Late night Chio.
What's going on, fellas? What are you guys doing up here?
I don't think people have ever heard your voice in a second being this late.
Actually, I'm glad that you stepped in here. This is a perfect moment. What was your first, someone knows who I am moment, or someone recognized me? Because our friend Blake had it happen to him while playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was when you went to the ER after you rolled your ankle falling off the chair last night.
funny.
I had a moment in a Cabela's where...
A Cabela's?
I take my kids to Cabela's because I live right down the street from one. Because
it's a free...
it's a free zoo,
that's right.
Basically.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really
it's an amusement park.
Yeah.
Of a way, yeah.
And it's huge and it's wonderful. So it's like we go there all the time. And one of those times, somebody from like across the camping section was like, did you fall?
Were they a little nervous? How far away were they?
Yes, yeah. It was like it was like probably a good like 10 or 15 feet away. He was with his wife and kid, and I was with my wife and three kids. And so it was a fun interaction right over by the Yeti coolers, I believe. It was.
What'd you do after? Did y'all take a picture?
It was a bonding experience. We did not take a picture.
You're not picture famous.
But yeah, not picture famous.
It was just high.
I didn't garner that. Well, I went over there and made, you know, good, yes, lovely small talk with
them.
That's
right.
You know, that's what you have
now,
to do
my
there.
My question is, once you do the small talk, how do you get at it? That's the hardest thing I deal with, how to get out of small talk when there is no transition out.
Usually people understand, especially catching you outside. I say that like it happens all the time. But like I feel like for the most part when I've had conversations, people just kind of like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, nice, absolutely. Yeah. He's got wife and kid, you know, pulling him in one direction. I got mine pulling in the other. Like, we totally get it. But it was a great 2-minute interaction, you know, that I'll personally never forget.
Okay, the 2-1-4.
And it made me look cool in front of my wife.
Yeah,
which,
bonus points.
You know what
right
I'm saying?
There,
my kids
points.
Aren't old enough to like understand that
they're
could potentially
care.
Be cool.
That's the thing I always find interesting about like athletes is that it brings a level of humility because they're like, I don't care about any of that stuff that happens over there. You're just dad. None of that matters.
Yes.
And I imagine in that same way.
100%.
Like, I don't care.
They don't realize their dad's a mogul yet. They haven't gotten the grasp.
They just haven't. They don't fully understand.
Well,
it.
Congratulations to you on your negotiations. Apparently you became a mogul somehow.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Yeah. I don't know. So have you seen the Clubhouse interviews? Look up your dad on YouTube. Look up my highlights.
By the way, as a little bit of tease, is that something that we're doing tomorrow?
I just spent way too much time cutting up. It's a 3 minutes of real estate on a 5-hour show that unfortunately just took me 3 hours to do because of my own incompetence.
I think that's good efficiency there.
Yeah.
The true shooting percentage on that is out at the... It's
dedication,
incredible.
No, it's bad. It's bad, but yes,
it's not
tomorrow,
bad. It's going to be great, and you got to listen to it on the G-Bag Nation.
It'll be one of those maybe so bad it's good kind of deals, but we will be Globe Life fielding G-Bag Nation from 2 to 6 tomorrow, leading you into World Championship pregame shows, beer drinking, banner raising, championship celebrating day tomorrow as we kick off the MLB season. And we march on for back to back. Tomorrow's going to be freaking amazing. I need to go get my beauty sleep, boys. I love you guys.
Yeah,
I'll see
that, homie. That's Eric Chiafalo of the G-Bag Nation, formerly a bleeder. Do you ever stop being a bleeder?
Never.
He says no. So shout out to Eric Chiafalo from 214. See y'all at the ballpark tomorrow. Indeed, you will see Eric Chiafalo. You'll see Dawson. You'll see Broadus. You'll see Wolchuk. You'll see all those fine fellas at Globe Life Field, getting this thing kicked off as your World Series champion Texas Rangers try and run it back. That was a little sharing time. Special sharing time. A fine milestone moment in the career of Blake Elliott here at The Fan. Appreciate you hanging out with us. One more hour to go in this evening, and we will begin it by getting you your headlines on this Wednesday. We'll do it next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.